my name is Danielle Shenandoah Patterson, and I'm Oneida of the Six Nation Iroquois Confederacy, Haudenosaunee, which means people of the Longhouse. And our territories extend above the St. Lawrence River into Canada, to the Susquehanna River near Pennsylvania, and as far west as Niagara Falls. And the Six Nation Iroquois Confederacy consists of the Oneida, the Onondaga, the Mohawk, the Cayuga, the Seneca, and in the late 1700s, the Tuscarora nations were nation was adopted into making what is known as the Six Nation Iroquois Confederacy. And we are the nations and confederation that had accepted the great law of peace, the great message of peace that Hiawatha delivered to our people, primarily during the European invasion within our Aboriginal homelands, which is right here, now known as the Americas. And the Iroquois people have been one of the strongest entities in the Native American populations, because our absolute refusal to be forced to give up our citizenship and our true identity as Six Nation Iroquois people. And over the history and formation of the United States government, many treaties were signed, which actually I've done a lot of research as now I am fighting not only on a political level, but a spiritual level as well, for the Iroquois people to maintain our identity and our cultural knowledge. And I come from a 32-acre community located between Syracuse and Utica, New York. So that's very central New York. That is 32 acres of original homeland that is uncolonized by the United States. It's never been obtained by the U.S. An Indian reservation is land obtained by the United States government and then reserved for Native people to live on. So this land, these 32 acres, is very on a scale of the once 5.5 million acres the Oneida people alone originally owned. That's all we have left in our possession is 32 acres. So this is the community that I come from, and basically I have so far in the past 2 years been fighting for my community. That is right now faced with a current destruction. We do have a tribal leader who is named is Ray Hubbarder, who is my first cousin, who was appointed as the federal recognized Oneida Nation of New York leader for life by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the United States federal government Department of the Interior. Had placed this man in position by various officials, New York State officials, when former New York Governor Mario Cuomo and U.S. Congressman Sherwood Bullard had campaigned for Ray Halbreder and this federal appointed position for the now Turning Stone Casino located in Vernon, New York. And this is within the Oneida land claim area. The Oneida Iroquois land claim is the largest land claim in all of American history. And the Oneidas have had the most history with the American government in the formation as we sided with the colonists during the Revolutionary Wars. And for our participation, the Oneida people's participation, we are always guaranteed that we could remain a nation within a nation and remain to keep our homelands. So through various treaties that I have researched, some of these treaties actually state that there will be no signing with the Indians of the treaties today until the barrels of rum arrive. So even by U.S. law, you are not to enter into any contract, which a treaty is, unless you are of sound mind. And if everybody was intoxicated, most of these treaties are illegal. And also on an international level, indigenous peoples identities and cultures have been squashed out by governmental agencies and which we have today and why I am in the position I am in my life today. I've taken a stand to expose the various U.S. policies pertaining to Native American people on an international level as far as the policies the U.S. has enforced upon Native people as far as in the early 1960s, this is when it came apparent in public knowledge that almost every Native American woman that went in to have a child in an American hospital was sterilized after the birth of her first child. And this was part of the promotion of the IRA, which is the Indian Reorganization Act. It's a continuance of this since the early 1900s when the Native populations were being systematically and the communities were being systematically destroyed and dispersed. And so these various issues, and as a Native woman today and an Indigenous person to this area, I am now the minority within my own homeland, and this is where I come from. And what the American education system teaches is very incorrect as far as the history that's only happened just during the formation of the United States, which only happened just 200 years ago, which was not that long ago. And a lot of working relations between local towns, Indian reservations, and this is still not India, and we're still called Indians. So we're trying to, you know, I belong to a network of people who have continuously disseminated the truth about Native American Indians in today's society, in every town and every city in the United States, and in Canada, in North America. We have Native people who have been displaced, and it's still continuing today, although the United States Congress had gave the status to the Native American Indian people within the United States in 1958, honorary citizenship, honorary U.S. citizenship, regardless if the Native people wanted it or not. And right now, all Native nations within the U.S. are known as subordinate sovereigns. So what we have is the Bureau of Indian Affairs trying to claim our entire race as we are becoming wards of the United States government. And this primarily has to do with these treaties that were signed with individual nations. And right now, in New York State, with the Oneida land claims, there was a 1970 ruling in the 70s, a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court that it was proven the Oneida lands were systematically stolen and found illegal and that our lands are to be returned to us. And so since the 70s, the Oneida people have been trying to restore and replenish a traditional government because since 1940, there was less than 200 Oneida people remaining within the New York area. And we've had a separation within the Oneida Nation. We have Oneidas who live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, near Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Oneidas in Southwold, Ontario, the Thames. And during the European invasion, the Iroquois nations were separated. We were used against each other during the French and Indian War. The Senecas sided with the British, the Oneidas sided with the colonists, and the Dutch, and the Mohawks sided with the French. And so we had found ourselves being systematically torn apart as a confederation that is constituted by the Iroquois Great Law of Peace. And within this Great Law of Peace, we are to have 50 chiefs that consist of our embodiment of the Iroquois Grand Council. Now, the only way I can explain this as far as tribal government has been established today. The United States have claimed that they had formed the United States Constitution by the Iroquois Constitution. And within our governmental system, the Iroquois are a matrilineal society, and we are not a matriarchal society as listed in various books about the Iroquois, because we did not have the king or anything that came from the motherland of the European culture. We did not have leaders. What we had were servants of the people, which were our chiefs and clan mothers. And the only way that I can explain it is how the U.S. government has claimed to adopt the Iroquois governmental system and the Constitution is like a pyramid. The United States had taken this one position, which was our Tododaho, which was our... he was not our head chief, but he recited and made sure that peace was being kept within the nations, because this was the agreements when the Six Nation Iroquois Confederacy formed as accepting the Great Law of Peace. The United States, what they have had is taken a pyramid upright and put the president on top and the people on the bottom within their governmental system. The Iroquois is upside down, triangle upside down, where the people are on the top and our chiefs and clan mothers in that one position, which is the U.S. president today. It was our Tododaho who recited the Great Law of Peace on a yearly basis to make sure that and ensure that the Iroquois nations were conducting themselves within the Great Laws of Peace. And it was an entire way of life. It's not like how today, you know, like the money-making system, corporate power is today as far as issuing bills and this tax issue, which I'll get to pretty soon on this scale, because the Iroquois people right now are in serious trouble. Our land claims, our ancestral land, is right now being used as a bargaining chip for more gaming in New York State. Now, within the Great Laws of Peace, it does discuss gambling. And it's not the gambling what the traditional Iroquois people are against. It's what elements it brings around, which has by far and large increased as far as the crime rate, the alcohol and substance abuse, suicide, all these various things, and now AIDS is also hitting the Native communities throughout North America. And what we have is tribal governments that were established by the Indian Reorganization Act. It was by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, where we have two forms of government that is recognized by the United States Department of the Interior, which one is the traditional form of government, or an elected form of government where there's a president in the election and so on. And today, the BIA recognized and appointed leader of the United Nation of New York is my first cousin, Ray Halbreder. And because he follows no form of government, traditional or elected, because there's no voting or anything, it has become a dictatorship. And this all became when the United States were pushing for the NAFTA agreement, the NAFTA trades agreement, and the United States Congressman Sherwood Bullard pushed and campaigned for commercial gambling in New York State, working alongside with Halbreder, and they enticed the Bureau of Indian Affairs to put Halbreder into place as the BIA appointed leader. And when this happened, the NAFTA trades agreement was the winning vote was U.S. Congressman Sherwood Bullard, and that was the trade-off to put Halbreder into position. And he gloated about it. He gloated about it in the local newspapers, Sherwood Bullard. And so for the past decade now, the Oneida Nation has been torn apart, and it's an actual incorporation disguised as a nation. And it's hiding behind the sovereignty that was made with all the Iroquois nations. As the Iroquois nations have continued to always stand for our rights as far as having the right to continue to maintain our citizenship and our laws within our territories. And right now, the community that I come from, for the past couple of years, it's been publicized, but on a very minuscule level, as far as a housing safety program called a beautification project, which right now Ray Halberter has gained enormous financial, he is now a billionaire on monies generated on behalf of the Oneida people and Oneida Nation, where every member within our nation receives, who's over the age of 18, receives a quarterly distribution check, which equals out to about $4,600 per year per member over the age of 18. Now, the Time magazine this past fall had reported the gaming issue, the Native gaming issue, because it's going on all across North America right now. And in my eyes, I see this as today's shiny pots, the casino business, as the shiny pots and pans and beads and alcohol that was offered for the Native people to give up their land when we had initially invited everyone to share the land with us because we didn't believe that anyone owned it and that we are part of creation. And so as it stands today, there are roughly around 374 Indian tribes, Native tribes, left within the United States that are recognized tribes. And there's various reasons why there are now not recognized Natives. There's this thing called federal recognition. For any Native nation to have a casino, they have to go become a federal recognized tribe, and this is going everything from issued tribal enrollment cards, almost like how the Nazis did with the Jewish people, issuing numbers. They're doing this, the U.S. Census Bureau, trying to maintain the count of the Native populations. And one of the main reasons that a lot of this is coming to the forefront in the news, in the media about Native gaming is because the Native nations are entering into a contract with a state, which they have the right to do. But any contract between an Indian nation and a state within the United States has to be approved by the Department of Interior, by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, or it's null and void. It's not legal. And to me, what this casino business has brought is it's one man for my nation, one man binding the entire nation, including my children, by his signature in entering a fraudulent casino agreement, which is selling our people into slavery, as we're now generators of money for New York State, because through this state agreement and with the nation agreement, we, you know, are going to be held responsible for all the actions carried out by one man, which now has been a very controversial issue across North America, because even everything as far as ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, do not have a department for Native people. And this is, we're like on the bottom of the list as far as anything goes since the 1968 agreement by U.S. Congress stating that we now have the Indian Civil Rights Act and that we have civil rights. And right now we have an active federal lawsuit and have had this in the federal court system because this is the only venue that the Bureau of Indian Affairs has allowed the Native nations to be able to delineate within these various confusions of this, our sovereign entities, these tribes and nations, dealing with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And one of the main agreements made was that the Native American people are to have free education, health care, and to never be interfered with as far as our water rights, and all these things are being violated continuously. And for myself, we have exhausted all the standard operating procedures as far as going through the federal court judicial system, asking for requests for them to enforce their own, the United States Indian Civil Rights Act, which our case, specifically the Oneida traditional people who have been fighting to maintain our homeland and our homes within our homeland, under this housing guise of health and safety, there have been homes that were 1991 models or newer, and these housing codes, like it is like any other municipality, as stated by Ray Halbert of the Casino Corporation. And what they have done is designed them so that we cannot bring our homes to code, which are not disclosed to us. So like even within any town or city that you moved into, and say you wanted to fix something on your house, and you would have to look up the housing codes, you would have access to that by going to your city hall or town officials to find out, you know, what are your guidelines. And people who were found actually fixing their roofs on their homes or fixing their homes were threatened that they would be arrested and their home and property seized if they're caught fixing up their homes without permission from Ray Halbreder and his corporation, his housing corporation. And one of the big things is the Oneida Nation of New York today, everything from the Turning Stone Casino to the area has now been monopolized. I think there's like maybe 3 gas stations within 4 towns in the surrounding town of Oneida that are not his gas stations. And by U.S. law, what he's doing is land racketeering, which is illegal by U.S. law. But then again, it's within the Oneida land claim. And so what he has done is found a way to show me the money type attitude for Native people, where it's based upon financial gain alone. And I know for my community, where everything was built out of before these lands were required under his administration and purchased through the monies made on behalf of our people without their permission, all nation meetings, we have a clan system, a hereditary clan system, which we follow. And the Oneida people have the wolf, bear, and the turtle clans. And each clan used to meet on a monthly basis, where we would come to a consensus where all 3 clans would meet in a nation meeting. And any affairs within our nation, that's how in a traditional system, in traditional government, it would be dealt with. And those meetings have been banned. What he did when he took over our entire nation in 1991 is hired the only all non-native tribal police force within North America. And what right now those police are being used for is to intimidate, threaten, harass, and physically abuse anyone who stands within the way of the money-making entity, the casino entity right now. And the community that I live in, if I was not related by clan, I was related by blood within my community. And there are not many all-Native communities left, and this is an all-Native community and has been since the early 50s when my mother, Macy Shenandoah, who is Oneida Wolf Clan mother and who holds her wampum and is recognized by all the Six Nation Iroquois Confederacy. We have been trying to restore our traditional government, our traditional system. And people now have actually lost all tribal benefits, including those applied for and received federal grants, which are U.S. Taxpayers' dollars, to our nation, that has allowed him to have sole control and decline the services to the Oneida people, who held a march, a peaceful march for democracy in 1993, demanding that the people wanted accountability, because at this time, this is when this whole Oneida Nation of New York incorporation was actually being formed, with this casino. And it put us under and threatened our sovereignty by entering in that casino gaming compact, because that allows New York State Police to enforce New York State laws within upon our lands. And so this issue of sovereignty and casino is being is facing a lot of nations within the United States right now, because this is what approval is being given by the Bureau of Indian Affairs as our rights to self-determination, where sovereignty to me means to me a self-efficient nation, a self-determined, they're, you know, a total sovereign nation that is not in cahoots with the Bureau of Indian Affairs as this semi-subordinate sovereign nation, which we are known as today, regardless of if we accept an IRA, the Indian Reorganization Act established federal tribal governments. So this tribal government system is totally foreign, because in the European culture, they had kings and queens, and we didn't have that hierarchy. We did not have that. And when, you know, during this relation, it was like, take me to your leader, and we did hold in the highest moral regards the clan mothers and the chiefs, because they were responsible for the political, the social, the spiritual well-being of our nation and our clans. And what we did follow was a hereditary clan system, which ensured that we had pure blood, that there was no incest or anything like that. And the Iroquois people have been very strong in the forefront as maintaining to keep what little lands we have left, and always fighting to maintain our own citizenship. And so this is a very undefined issue, and which finds not only my nation, but most Indian nations today struggling, like since incidents like Wounded Knee, the incident out there in Ogallala with Leonard Peltier. That kind of stuff is still going on in today's society, although there are various laws the United States have passed as far as racial discrimination goes. And the Native people still continue to be in the boat where we have not even basic human rights. And so I had to go and start studying some laws. That would be the federal laws and federal policies pertaining to Native people, and New York State laws, because this is, you know, where my community is surrounded by New York State. And they have sought to undermine and destroy our nations that have lasted for thousands of years within this way of life in the Great Law of Peace. And there are various treaties that are signed stating that the Iroquois people are to be able to live in peace with their neighbors, which is clearly not happening today. One of the actions which Ray Halberter had created was some very bad relations with the local towns and cities surrounding the Oneida Nation by deciding to sue 200,000 landowners within our land claim area, which formed the UCE, which is called the Upstate Citizens for Equality. And right now they're known as the anti-Indian, anti-sovereignty hate group, because Halberter was trying to evict them, to force New York State into an agreement to to trade off our land claim for more gaming within New York State. Now, he has no right to do that, primarily because our nation, and that word democracy, is the voice of all the people. And this is how the Iroquois people governed themselves, was including everyone from a toddler to an elder to have a say, and that's a nation is what makes all the people is what makes a nation, and not just a few individuals. But that's what we are faced with today, that the U.S. government is working with tribal governments and certain individuals who are have access and are also denying all the resources that are requested on the behest of all our people. And primarily since 1991, there was a federal grant, a HUD housing grant, given the first time ever to the Oneida Nation in 1991 for $2.7 million for 30 new homes to be built with on the Oneida Indian Territory, which is still not done today. So we have reported various law breakings by Ray Halberter and his incorporation. What he has done is hired what is called a men's council, and it's like a farce, because there's no such thing as known as a men's council within the Haudenosaunee, and they do not participate neither in the Grand Council, which still meet and are still an entity that is alive, which various nations besides the Iroquois are being enticed to enter into these gaming compacts, which generally have us paying for the sovereignty that's already ours. So we have my niece just plays that. Anyways, so what I've been trying to do is put these laws together, and what I've found was that the United States is the only country that will not give their the yes vote for the Declaration of Human Rights. And they are the only country that will not agree to give their vote for the International Declaration of Indigenous Peoples' Human Rights as well. And so this past year, I attended the UN for the Permanent Forum for Indigenous People, and I cited, and I did not know until after I did it, that I was the first Native American Indian and within the U.S. to ever cite the U.S. on their continuous human, civil, and religious rights violations of the indigenous people within our own lands. And I don't know how many of you know about the U.N., but each country sits on as a member state. And basically, because the U.S. are claiming that they have claimed our entire race, there are an issue when it goes right down to the Indian Reorganization Act, the Iroquois specifically talked how we absolutely refused to accept that. And so they have not, we're actually an embarrassment. The Native American people are an embarrassment to the U.S. government today because they never succeeded in ridding of us. They have had done everything from the Johnson Indian Removal Act, all these things that are not taught in today's school system, educational system, and it didn't happen that long ago, and it's still not being addressed. And so for me as a Native person in today's society, I'm not only having to deal with that burden of the 200 years of confusion and intoxication that it took to have our lands systematically stolen from us, and then our nation systematically dispersed. As, like I had said, just within my own nation, the Oneida Nation, we have Oneidas in Canada as well, in Wisconsin. So we have great issues to fight. And I have spoken, we've had documented everything that's going on within my community right now as far as forced armed entries, this paramilitant, all non-Native tribal police force who are not deputized, who are not Bureau of Indian Affairs police, who are not state or city police, who are coming into an all-Native community and performing forced armed entries and demolitions, and even under eminent domain, as civil rights go. You are to get fair compensation for your home, which I was denied. And I had fought this on a grassroots level. We had, my community had started the Oneidas for Democracy group, which consisted of mainly women and elders and children who are trying to fight to maintain, to keep our community together, which that is our inherent birthright lands. That's the Iroquois territory. We have every right to live within our homeland. And what he is doing is clearing the land for something. And the only thing that we can really pinpoint it towards is 2 years ago, New York State has found that the Turning Stone Casino is illegal because it was never passed through New York State legislator. It was only signed by former New York Governor Mario Cuomo and Halbreder alone behind closed doors. So the OTBs, the off-track betting, I think that's what they're called, the where you can do the horse races, are now carrying machines owned by Ray Halbreder, the slotless slot machines, that are fixing Pataki's tax budget right now. There's some in Manhattan, and it's going to be in like July, I think it's like July 20th, around that time. Halbreder is hosting the National Native Gaming, I think it's like a celebration and some conference where they're going to be introducing nationally Halbreder's slotless slot machines throughout North America and various other gaming ventures. And so, you know, I have been protesting this on all ends, mainly because the Native population, we did have a food bank that serviced 280 Native families, which Halbreder ordered destroyed, and it's been destroyed. Anybody who has helped as far as peace, because we have maintained peace within our community and have done civil disobedience to try to maintain, to keep our homes. My home primarily was a 1985 mobile home that passed a New York State housing safety inspection. A week prior to them, Halbreder ordering his tribal police force to come in, beat me up, which is on video, to perform a forced armed entry with a crowbar into my home. And there, not one of them were Native American Indian. They were all Caucasian U.S. citizens who were trespassing, because I told them that that was not a tribal house, it was mine, I purchased, we're all private homeowners upon that territory. And I knew that they only wanted to inspect my home to demolish it, as under this guise of health and safety, because in 1 year's time, 11 homes were inspected and all of them were immediately destroyed, regardless that some of them were 1991 models homes or newer. And so what he has done is stated in his housing ordinance is that you'll be fined or arrested or your property seized if you're caught fixing up your home, and you're not allowed to bring your house up to par to his codes, which he stated publicly far exceeds New York State and federal housing codes. So basically, because we do not live in mansions like him, he said we're better off homeless. And I have three children. It was October 18th, 2002, when about 17 tribal, Oneida tribal police, the non-native tribal police force came into my community, blockaded the road, and kidnapped me and took me from my home across state lines and threw me in a prison in Pennsylvania, the Cambria prison. And because I was not sent, and I was taken by the casino police here, the, you know, Turning Stone Casino, Oneida Indian Nation of New York Incorporated Police, to the prison in Pennsylvania. It was a maximum security prison, and I had never even been in jail before in my life. And because I was not sent to that prison by New York State officials, or I mean New York State authorities or the federal authorities, they didn't know how to process me in this prison. And so what they put down, my crime, was Native American Indian. So that's my crime. That's what they listed on my prison record, because I had no crime. I was kidnapped, actually taken from my home to Pennsylvania prison that was located in New York. My home was located in Oneida, New York. So I had been speaking with people at the UN about this permanent forum for Indigenous people, about, you know, attending and trying to see what help we can get, because right now there is no process or foundation or legal nothing established right now where the Native American populations can get a fair mediation. All we have is the U.S. federal court system to exhaust, and they thwart what hold the laws of the U.S., but none of the Native nations. So it's already biased. And so myself, I have been trying to figure out a way, because this is ridiculous in this day and age, and this is supposed to be civil society, and this is allowed to happen, and right in central New York. This is not any other country. This is, you know, the espousal of freedom, democracy, and justice for all. And I am a First Nations person. I am a, you know, an Aboriginal person, Indigenous person, not only to this land, but to be the minority now within our homeland and have no legal, nothing, have no civil rights, no human rights, is ridiculous. And there is a great need for peace, and this is my law. And so our community has been able to continue to do civil disobedience and maintain peace within our homelands, although these abuses and physical abuse is being used upon our people, which in our community, which is mainly women and children and elders. And so when I was in this prison, I had, you know, start spouting out some of my learnings from, you know, as far as, you know, constitutional rights go. And I told them they're taking part in a kidnapping, because I was kidnapped, taken from my home. And when I was arrested, supposedly arrested, in front of my home, it was right at 3 o'clock when my kids had gotten off the bus. And through doing legal research, I found that I had better prepare some paperwork, because I do have 3 children. I'm a single parent with no way to even get child support from my children's father, who is also Oneida, because he works for Ray Halberter's incorporation. And New York State has ordered my ex-husband to pay child support to help me with his children. And Halberter stepped in and said that we're a sovereign nation, we don't have to apply by or comply with New York State or federal laws. So everything, and this is the food, you know, everything from me working at the food bank and trying to keep food on our table. I'm a Native artist, and I was solely independent. I have been one of the 200 people within my nation that were cut off from all our tribal allotments, stipends, not allowed to enter any of the tribally owned buildings for attending this peaceful March for Democracy in 1993. And so because I did not need a check to know that I am Oneida or belong to, like, the membership club, I mean, for me, I'm a Native person because it's a matrilineal society, and my mother's Oneida, and her clan is Wolf Clan, so I'm born into that nation, and I take her clan. And what he has established now is a club membership that you can belong to the Oneida Indian Nation of New York, but you basically cannot say anything, because if you do, he'll take all those things from you. And so without any resources whatsoever, I would do my beadwork. I would meet with other peace organizations to try to organize and mobilize various actions and try to bring forth this news that's happening right in central New York. And I, the videotape that I had mentioned earlier with the police brutality and forced armed entries into people's privately owned homes without due process, all these things, and I was the first person ever to be prosecuted and taken before the newly built Oneida Nation Tribal Police, or Oneida Tribal Court, which is just a building. They put a paper up there and said it's the tribal court for today. And I was speaking my language within this court, and they're all non-native judges, all non-native lawyers that have no background or history with Iroquois law or native law. And I was told I cannot speak my language there. I was told that I could not have a lawyer present. And I did obtain a lawyer because I absolutely refused to move. They had ordered me out of my home to immediately evacuate. And I said, no, there's nothing wrong with my home. It passed New York State housing safety codes. And I had, one of the big things was, is I had applied for HEAP, H-E-A-P. It's like a national heating assistance program for people who are income are in the income bracket where they can't afford to, you know, have heat or fuel or for the utilities during like winter months, which my house met the requirements. I had to go through a New York State safety housing, and it's run through New York State and the U.S. federal government. The federal government. And I applied for and received a grant to have a replacement for a furnace put in my home. And Halberter had found out about it and had notified Madison County, the subcontractors for the federal government, to not assist me in any way or form, and had ordered them not to deliver the furnace. And this was one of the main reasons they cited that my home had to be, that it was condemned, because I did not have an operating furnace, and that I was threatening the lives of my children, and where he had actually set up 24-hour roadblocks in front of the entrance to my community to ensure that nobody was delivering me a furnace. Well, we snuck a guy in through the woods, not using the main roads, and he came in and he fixed my furnace. And so he also gave a voucher or whatever, you know, stating that, you know, my furnace was fixed. So I paid for it, and I still have not received that furnace that I won that, I received that grant for, because Halberter ordered him not to help me. So, my home was, I was in prison for 4 days. One of the UN people that I was working with for the working groups for Indigenous people had called to find out why I was being held in prison in Pennsylvania. And as soon as they called, they cut off all communications for me. I couldn't even speak with a lawyer. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but Monday morning was my trial, and this paperwork I had gotten ready for my children was stating, and it was notarized, stating that if anything should happen to me, my children are to go to my family, because when they did come and take me to prison on October 18th, 2002, they had New York State Child Protective Services there to turn my children over to New York State to, I guess, not only as tribal authority, just to hand my children over to be stating that I could no longer take care of my children because I was homeless. And my home was still standing until I got out of prison on October 22nd, where I was told that I had to allow them to demolish my home and I can go away free with my children, with my freedom with my children, if I allow them to demolish my home and plead guilty to criminal contempt of their tribal court for refusing to allow them just to come in and destroy my home. And this was, mind you, going on for like almost two years, where I had gone and attended some Leonard Peltier rallies in Boston, down here in New York City, and to trying to tell people, well, don't take my word for it. And I gave open invites. I started a peace camp in front of my home where I had over 200 people who came in as legal witnesses just to record what was going on within the community, because our community was under 24-hour surveillance by these Oneida Nation Police. And these Oneida Nation Police consist of 70-something now. Police, where here the local city, town, the county sheriffs, and the locals, all of them put together doesn't even amount to this army, this paramilitant force here that do carry weapons. They're heavily armed. So they came, people attended my peace camp, and because we maintain to keep peace, because any U.S. citizen has the right to defend your family within your home if it's threatened, which I do not have the opportunity, or I did not, I was not even allowed the opportunity for that. So just going back to the basic civil rights thing, you know, I had started, you know, discussing what was going on within my community, and we really needed people to help get the information out. So we started the Oneidas for Democracy nonprofit organization just to disseminate the information and try to host community gatherings for people to come in and see the community that's being destroyed. And so everyone from language teachers were chased away by Ray Halberter. And this is cultural genocide. And the main reason for this is because the federal government, the BIA, put him there. And because, like I said, he does not follow elective or traditional form of government, there's no process to remove him. So he's guaranteed this position for life. And for myself, it's been very hard getting through to people where a lot of them say, well, you know, I hear the nation's very successful. You guys are making a lot of money. I see all the flyers and all the pamphlets coming out of Turning Stone. And I said, yeah, okay, for instance, I went and talked with somebody from the ACLU who received $15 million to the organization from the Oneida Nation of New York. So anything Oneida Indian Nation of New York is under the control and administration of Ray Halberter. He is the only federally recognized leader of the nation to the nation by the BIA. So everything under his administration he has complete control of, because me, my children, he'll continuously acclaim that 98% of his people support him. There's roughly 529 adults on our tribal rolls over the age of 18. And there's like 1,700 in total on our tribal rolls. So the rest are children. So he's using my children, almost everybody's children, as his votes that support this, what he's doing. And like I said, he owns this newspaper called Indian Country Today that used to be owned by Tim Gallego, I think his name was. And what Halberter provided was $34,000 to support this year's Native American Journalists Association convention. And he's been labeled the most, it was $34,000 to the Native American Journalists Association, and hosted the convention as well. This is how he has been able to continue to espouse the successful nation, where it's only on economic gain alone, where most of the Oneida people are living at or near the poverty level. And like I had said before, if you challenge or question in any way, any monies that are being made on your behalf or your children's behalf, if you're an Oneida member, you have no say, period. And what he has done is banned all the nation meetings. And like I said, there's no voting. One meeting he did hold, it was like 5 years had gone by, and when the Oneida people had showed up at this supposed nation meeting, he had all his non-native tribal police force standing there with their guns on their hands, on their holsters, and passed out a paper and said that if anybody had any questions, they have to give it to him in writing, and he'll decide whether it's a good question or not and answer it. And if anybody chooses not to go along with this way of his nation meeting, then they will be removed. So by having police there, this is just like within my longhouse, which is like a spiritual center where we hold all our ceremonies and community activities, as far as like the Iroquois Singing Society events, just different things that we have within our community, as the longhouse is part of our community. He has banned all the ceremonies now and locked it for 10 years. And so I was actually physically thrown out when I went over with my children, where just a few years ago he had a live VI satellite within the longhouse, and hired other Native people of other nations to come into the Oneida Longhouse, paid, mind you, that were employed by the Oneida Nation to sit in the longhouse where he took a shot of everybody sitting there to the Oneidas in Wisconsin and told them that we don't want you home. This land claim issue, again, is what I'm trying to refer to as far as the three Oneida communities. And so he made it look like he had all these Oneida people supporting him, telling all the Oneidas out in Wisconsin, we don't want you back, you're not getting no money, you're not getting no land, you guys left. And it wasn't even, New York State forced our Oneida people to move out to Wisconsin when they start taking all our land. And like I had said, by 1940, there was less than 200 Oneida people left in New York.